From 1894 to 1947 in Canada, there was a network of boarding schools for Indigenous peoples. It was funded by the Canadian government's Department of Indian Affairs, as it was called at the time, but administered by Christian churches. Now, the system had a very dark agenda. It was created to isolate Indigenous children from the influence of their own native culture and religion to assimilate them into the dominant Canadian culture. Over the course of the 100-plus years this system was in place, around 150,000 children were placed in these residential schools. By the 1930s, 30% of Indigenous children in Canada were believed to be attending these schools. But the number of deaths remains unknown due to incomplete records, and estimates range 3,000 to over 30,000. And you would think that a system with such a dark history would be alone in its operation, but oh no, no, no. Canada's neighbors to the south, the good old United States, would copy that same system. And that's what we're talking about, Canada's quietude. Recent news, some of you may have heard, they have found unmarked grave sites at some of these schools in Canada, much to the shock of the Canadian public, which is odd to me considering, like, you guys had this program for 100 years.
Yeah.
You guys, they knew about the unmarked grave sites. But then that brought attention to the very same program that ran here in the United States and the likelihood of mass graves full of Native American, Indigenous American children here in the United States. Yeah, we're going to go right into Thanksgiving on a somber note here. Thanksgiving. By the way, happy Thanksgiving or Indigenous Peoples Day.
Yeah, I don't actually, I don't consider myself a celebrator.
No, I don't. No, yeah.
Okay. I like turkey.
Yeah. I like family. I like food.
Thanksgiving is just time to be with your family. And it's holidays do that. The essence of the holiday changes over time. We all know that Christmas is some pagan demon holiday.
It is.
It literally is.
It's about demons.
So Thanksgiving, you know, we changed what it means. But, you know, in school, those of us that are around our age, we were taught that, you know, the Pilgrims and the Indians got together and they danced and gave each other food and smallpox. And
they had a big table with a giant turkey.
Yeah, giant turkey in the middle. But that wasn't what was happening at all. Well, it might have been at that time, but in the 1890s, they decided to commit genocide systemic genocide.
Yeah, because which is the worst, you know, genocide. The other, you know, ghosts that they had at it kind of petered out after a while, and this was like the nice, clean, quiet way to go about it. So I wanted to talk about this because we have done the Roanoke episode in the past, where we kind of,
by the way, don't go listen to that episode.
Not if you have misophonia.
Yeah,
because that's gonna be hard for your ears. Sorry. But you know, when we dug into Roanoke in the past, that was kind of eye-opening because I think I had only heard about like the disappearance at that point of, you know, the people, and we hadn't really gotten into all of the infighting and like the domino effect that it had with the actual disappearance of the people of Roanoke and like all the just brutality. You know, by the colonizers versus the Indigenous people. So that was, we're just carrying on that tradition of ruining your holiday with something sad.
Yes, I'm glad that we could contribute. This will make interesting table conversation with your drunk uncle.
Your
Aunt Karen.
Please argue with your family about this topic.
And like we said, it wasn't just the Canadians that were doing this. I don't want Canadians to think that we're picking on y'all.
No, at all. In my research, it was an American that pioneered the entire system. So his name was Richard Pratt, probably Chris Pratt's great-great-grandfather.
Makes a lot of sense.
But he was in, I believe, St. Augustine and a couple of other locations around America with what started out in America. It was church-driven, these schools. And he launched the first like government run version of one of these schools, and Canada actually bit off of him and took his little thing and then, you know, blew it up to be a systemic thing with the Canadian government as well. So
a lot of these places were actually run by in the United States were run by military personnel because these schools were previously military bases. They used abandoned military bases. It was prison.
Yeah.
For Native American kids. And to me, like, if you want to snuff out a movement, you start at the roots, right? If you really want to kill a tree, you start at the roots.
Yeah.
You go to the kids. If you make the kids 100% American Christians, then that is the perfect way to commit genocide, because it's not like it's not even seen as this in the same vein as like what we typically think of genocide or ethnic cleansing.
Yeah,
this is a very
clean way to completely squash you know, an entire culture. And that was actually Richard Pratt's motto, was kill the savage, save the man. So he wanted to basically convert every, you know, brown person.
Also, something that we weren't clear about in the intro, this was not voluntary. This is not voluntary.
Absolutely
they
not.
They essentially just kidnapped these kids.
I was going to say, how did they get there? They just snatched them off the street.
In the U.S., I believe it was an imposition for sure. But in Canada, they actually made it illegal for any Native family to keep their children. They had to send their children there. And if you didn't send your children, you could be arrested. Yeah.
What?
So doesn't this sound a lot like chattel slavery? Essentially, yeah. The, you know, how they broke up these African families. They would bring families from Africa, as we all know, and then they would purposefully break them up.
Yep.
And then they would force them into these, you know, these Christian rituals. You know,
yep.
They wanted to, you know, get rid of whatever your African culture was.
Your name.
Right, your name. Yeah. And you would assimilate into white Christian American culture, even though you were still a slave, by the way. You weren't even considered human, but we're going to make you assimilate to our culture.
So that's one thing they did. The kids, the first day that they would get there, they would line them up. First off, they would cut all their hair, which for a lot of indigenous cultures, like, your hair is important. So they would cut it all off down to like a buzz cut. I believe even for the girls, they would take all of their clothing that they brought with them and make them put on little, you know, uniforms or whatever. And they would make them go through like a de-lousing process. And then they would force them into these little classrooms with names written on the board. And they would say, you pick the name, pick your name.
Oh.
You can't be called, you know, whatever your actual name is. Pick this, you know, white Christian name, and that's going to be your name from now on. And one of the biggest, one of the most famous people, I believe his name was, I want to say it's Luther Standing Bear, but I could be wrong. He didn't even understand English. He couldn't read English. And he just picked the name Luther because he liked the way that it looked.
There's an account from one of the students. There's an account from one of the students in the 1890s. It reads, a small bell was tapped, and each of the pupils drew a chair from under the table. Supposing this act meant that they were to be seated, I pulled out mine and at once slipped into it from one side. But when I turned my head, I saw that I was the only one seated, and all the rest at our table remained standing. Just as I began to rise, looking shyly around to see how chairs were to be used, a second bell sounded. All were seated at last, and I had to crawl back into my chair again. I heard a man's voice at one end of the hall, and I looked around to see him. But all the others hung their heads over their plates. As I glanced at the long chain of tables, I caused the eyes of a pale-faced woman upon me. Immediately, I dropped my eyes, wondering why I was so keenly watched by the strange woman. The man ceased his mutterings, and then the third bell was tapped. Everyone picked up his knife and fork and began eating. I began crying instead, for by this time, I was afraid to venture anything more. This was just mealtime. This is like prison.
Yeah.
Mm.
Shit right here. Like, why would you...
So yeah, all they had to do is give up their culture and cut their hair off, and their souls were saved.
Right, yeah, yeah. Miraculously. Yeah. Yeah.
At least they're not going to hell.
It's so sad. They have that going for them.
No Christian devil for you.
Yeah, it said, also it said... they had to farm using European-based methods, which they consider superior to indigenous methods. That's hilarious to me.
Excuse me. We touched on this in Roanoke. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's y'all very... motherfuckers would have starved would... so many times.
Wow.
It said, from the moment students arrived at school, they could not be Indian, in quotes, in any way. Boarding school administrators forbade, whether in school or even on the reservation, tribal singing and dancing, along with the wearing of ceremonial and what they considered to be savage clothing, the practice of native religions, speaking of tribal languages, the acting out of traditional gender roles even. They argued that young women needed to be specifically targeted due to their important place in continuing assimilation education in their future homes. They were instructed that Indian girls, yeah. I know, were instructed that Indian girls were to be assured that because their grandmothers did things in a certain way, there was no reason for them to do the same. The irony in that statement, considering the way today.
Yeah.
You know, they're saying people, you should do things like how your grandmother did to them. But back then it was like, oh, by the way, you guys, though, you cannot do things the way your grandmother did.
Yeah. Not like that.
Wow.
So... I wanted to dig into this because when I was a kid, I read, I was in Battle of the Books, which I don't know, that probably dates me at this point. But it was like a program when I was in elementary school where you like had to read X amount of books, and then we won something. I don't know what the fuck we won now, but I was in like third grade, you know, I was like, yeah, I want to get a pizza party or whatever the fuck it was. And I read The Education of Little Tree.
Yes. I've read that.
And that was the first, but you know, I was so young. In my mind, as I'm reading this book, I'm like, oh my God, this happened so long ago. People were so terrible. What the fuck? And then actually digging into this, they didn't close these schools until the 70s.
Some operated into the 90s.
Shut up.
Yes, the last school in Canada was closed in 1997. The last one in the United States. Was closed in 1975.
But why though? Like why?
There has to be some kind of money.
They could have been watching Space Jam. Like, wrap your fucking head around that.
God, that's crazy.
That's so fucking crazy to me. Holy shit.
Another account from a former student. Intimidation and fear were very much present in our daily lives. For instance, we would cower from the abusive disciplinary practices of our superiors, such as the one who yanked my cousin's ear hard enough to tear it. After a 9-year-old girl was raped in her dormitory bed during the night, we girls would be so scared that we would jump into each other's bed as soon as the lights went out. The sustained terror in our hearts further tested our endurance, as it was better to suffer with the full bladder and be safe than to walk through the dark, seemingly endless hallway to the bathroom. When we were older, we girls anguished each time we entered the classroom of certain male teachers who stalked and molested girls.
Wow.
There was a man, and I believe it was in Canada, who was charged. He worked at one of these places, and he was charged with sexual assault of 18 kids. 18 fucking kids.
A place like this is a breeding ground for pedophilia and predators.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're not going to be held accountable.
Yeah. Right?
But this is what they wanted. They wanted.
Yeah, they're going to hire people like that. Absolutely. Because they want to break these children. You know, they just... There was a man that I listened to his testimony, and I don't want to... It's on another podcast, so I don't really want to pull a whole lot from it. But he was talking about how he can't speak the language that he was raised to speak, not because of how the school discouraged it, but directly because of the way that they discouraged it. They would line his peers up against a wall, and the teacher, the like principal, grabbed a fire hose and would lash the children with a fucking fire hose every time they responded in their native language. A fucking fire hose. Shit weighs like at least 50 fucking pounds empty.
Holy How shit. Is she lifting that, first of all?
No, like, this was a man.
Oh, I thought you this said
is
she.
A, no, 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 no. This is a grown man.
Well, still, like...
hitting tiny 9-year-old boys.
Wow. Also, I lied earlier. The last school did not close.
2007. No.
The last no. 2007.
No. What? So, stop it.
So is,
that was last year.
Yeah,
practically, fuck.
In 1978, a law was passed that only gave Indigenous American parents the right to refuse their child's placement in schools. However, in 2007, there were still 10,000 children in boarding school dormitories.
That is crazy.
I had no idea this was going on for this long.
Yeah.
I knew that there were schools like this, but I didn't know.
Like as a child reading that book, I was like, oh, this happened when my, you know,
right.
Mother
right.
was
a long time
alive.
Ago.
Yeah.
Now, like, that's been done.
That's
now,
wild.
Apparently, now this little tidbit is according to Wikipedia, so it's hard to know, you know, it's Wikipedia. But it says by the early 2000s, about 24 off-reservation boarding schools still operate, but there's no funding. They're not funded by the government, which is even worse. I mean, someone privately.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's doing that?
Wow.
So, some context behind for the listeners. I used to know a person who was in a private boarding school as a teenager. They were a troubled youth, and their parents basically concocted this kidnapping scenario, which is traumatizing enough, I'm sure.
What?
Yeah, basically jumped them, put them in a van, and took them all the way up to Indiana. To this private boarding school that they paid a lot of money for. And this person was telling me that they would sit down at mealtime. Keep in mind, listeners, this is a private, expensive boarding school. They would have expired food from grocery stores that they would have to eat. And when they would open the dry cereal, there would be fucking mealworms in it.
Ew.
Yeah. Like, same systematic breakdown for these kids. They would have to be, you know, in assigned little dorms with each other. There was, you know, lights out. There was times that they would have to report, you know, to class and stuff like that. It was actually, I would say, better than the residential schools in this scenario, because they actually got schooling, what they were calling schools in this, you know, situation. They actually would take the kids out to do hard labor, the male students. They would take out into, like, the fields to fucking farm and teach. They would teach them how to do, like, hard labor jobs that would always keep them at the poverty line. And then for the girls, they would teach them, you know, like that bullshit home economics shit. It was like, how to fold a napkin, you know, like, fuck off.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, this whole thing is kind of, I mean, it's no secret about the way, one, the United States government, or particularly colonizers, treated Indigenous Americans during essentially what was their conquest of the Americas. Mm. But the fact that it continued even post-Civil War, yeah, not just in America, but in Canada, which yeah, is shocking.
That's
because,
supposed to be the friendly neighbor to the North.
Right,
yeah,
Canada, right. I didn't know that it was...
What has Canada yeah, ever done wrong?
They dark right, as fuck.
This. They've done this
they're
wrong.
So nice and friendly.
I've been to Canada.
If you're the right shade.
I've been to yeah, Canada twice, and yeah, everyone, I mean, it's nice.
Apparently, according to many Canadians I've met, that they're just passive aggressive. It's like the South, but worse. So, right, yeah.
Kinda it's like yeah, bless your heart, eh?
Yeah.
Yes. there is something called the Truth and Reconciliation Report. They did a report on... Multiple reports.
Yeah, this is like a post audit.
Oh, correct. Yeah. In which they spoke to the survivors. That's where these accounts, these survivor testimonies are going to. You can go through their website and read through them.
What was it called?
The Truth and Reconciliation Commission of Canada.
Mm.
It was formed in 2008. They got over 6,750 testimonies. Now this is mainly for the Canadian system, which to be fair to the United States here, it was worse in Canada somehow, from what I understand.
I don't 100% believe that. I think Canada probably just actually they actually looked into it, whereas right, we yeah, probably
we
didn't.
Were just like, we're good.
No, what are you talking about? What problem?
We investigated ourselves. Yeah. We're clear.
The U.S. is like,
well, the reason I say that.
They were willing to document it.
The reason I say that is because of the mass graves.
Right.
In Canada, they're, you know,
so
been,
they did keep records
they
in
kept,
Canada.
Right.
And that's another point I wanted to touch on is, I guess Canadians are just not as scummy as the U.S. in this sense, where they did keep track of how many children to mm-hmm, a certain degree died. And
even the Nazis kept records. The Nazis knew exactly how many Jews they were killing. Oof. I think just for efficiency. I know that sounds...
Yeah.
Terrible, but it's true. The only reason we don't know exactly how many people the Nazis killed was because they destroyed a lot of the records
yeah,
when the Allies started to come in. So I think it could be the same thing in Canada. They were just like,
so
like, hey, we're doing a good job of genociding over here. Look at these records. Look.
They estimate that 50% of the children that were forced into these schools died. They know that it was around 150,000 children forced into the schools. So that means about 75,000 children have died. They haven't found all of those bodies.
Wow.
Yeah.
So these were kids that were just kidnapped. So I guess...
Well,
when they were
kidnapped like guys in a van or a stagecoach showed up, and it was kind of like as part of okay, or you're an Indigenous American and we're giving you this reservation, but that comes with these yeah, concessions, and one yeah, of them is that your children must go to these schools.
Okay,
so,
gotcha.
Now, what other choice did they have? Because at this time, there had been multiple wars between Indigenous people and the federal government, mostly of the United States and I suppose Canada. I mean, the war had ravaged those people.
Yeah.
They were tired of fighting.
You're at the poverty line. How
right,
the
yeah,
fuck are you going to
exactly,
move or leave?
They had taken 50 million acres of land from Indigenous people, and now they were like, okay, all right. We'll give you some of that back, but give us your kids. They got to go to school. Because from what I understand, some of these schools were on the reservations.
Mm-hmm.
And so the children actually lived on the reservations, but they still weren't allowed to engage.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They still weren't allowed to engage in their culture, even though they were on a reservation that was specifically reserved for their
yeah,
culture.
Yeah, forbidden to even speak your own language.
Like, yeah, that's...
What?
And like some of these testimonies said, a lot of these kids didn't even know English. It's like, okay, you cannot speak your language.
Yeah.
You can only speak our language, but you don't know how to speak our language.
Right. Yeah.
So good luck with that.
Yeah.
Mm. Part of me thinks this was just set up. Genocide was really the
Oh, that was absolutely the goal.
You know, behind the guise of assimilation and re-education.
Well, you have to know you're in an area, specifically Canada, we'll just say, we'll address this target. You're in an area that gets snow. You're in a building that's not well insulated. You don't have proper medical care. You don't have proper nutrition. You don't have a proper way to keep these children. You know they're going to get sick. You know that they are going to get sick to the point where they need medical intervention. You don't have the staff. You don't have the adequate care for them. They're going to die. Like, it's just 1+1=2. Like, this was the end result that they wanted. You know, if you can't kill them outright, their culture. It is, you know.
I mean, we're still seeing that today. And not just indigenous people, but, you know, people that are oppressed of people of color. You know, these people whose sexual orientation does not fit in with what our government thinks is normal. They always try and find ways to undermine those communities.
Oh, but Kaiza, the alphabet mafia, they're so powerful.
Those of you that have not listened, go back and listen to the Jonestown episode as well as the Grace Walden Stevens episode, because there's some tie in there that we discover. But I bring those up is to talk about how they're clearly, there was an effort by the government to undermine gay and black communities, counterculture communities during that period that were coming out of the West Coast. Clearly, they saw that as a threat. San Francisco had elected an openly gay mayor, you know, the first ever in our country. And surely, I'm thinking the federal government said, that's a threat. Because you got one gay mayor, and then all the mayors are going to be gay now. Everyone's gay. So we have to infiltrate that. And then that's what we saw. We saw what they did to Black Panther Party. We saw what they did to Angela Davis. Jim Jones appears out of nowhere. Just out of nowhere with a bunch of money and starts a church. And he gathers up a bunch of black people and they disappear.
He's just such a good speaker.
Where'd he come from? And then they're all dead a few years later. So I tell you, and this was back in the 1800s, where there wasn't going to be the type of repudiation there would have been even in the 70s.
Common thread to me here seems like Christianity, though.
Oh, So there are old articles, and there's a really good podcast out there. I think it's called, hold on.
That's not what it's called.
It's called that. No, it's. I think it's called the Carlisle Indian Industrial School Research Podcast. So if you really want to just deep dive into all of this, Carlisle Indian Industrial School was the first government-run Native American school in America. And this lady was reading off. She had found the host had found old newspaper clippings from the Carlisle area about the first day of school for these children. And when I tell you, it was some of the most racist, just overtly racist shit I've ever heard in my life. Because you have to remember, these kids were being taken to this boarding school at 4 years old. Mm. They're calling them warriors, savages. Mm. They call the little girls squaws, which I just found out is a derogatory term.
Really?
So squaw means a prepubescent Native American girl for courting or something like that.
That a white man wants to
pedophilic term. This is in a fucking newspaper talking about prepubescent children, calling them fucking savages, warriors, and squaws.
See, this is why, I'm a big sports fan, and I am totally, totally for getting rid of names of teams, the Braves and the Chiefs, and I know people think that's That's crazy. To me, the Redskins was the biggest offender. Mm-hmm. And shit like this is why.
Yeah.
You have a history of of not just disenfranchising, not just oppressing, but outright genocide.
Yeah.
And then you have the audacity to name a team, a professional sports
it's
team.
It's like if Turkey had like the Fighting Armenians. You know?
Right, yeah. Which is, here's what kills me. If you're one of these people that are like, well, what about the Minnesota Vikings? Shut the fuck up. Shut up.
Oh, come on.
Shut up. Who in the United States gathered up a bunch of Vikings and made their kids go to Viking school and made them wear little Viking hats? And nobody did that. That's the difference in a team like the Vikings and the Redskins. And I understand that some of those teams do have close relationships with the local indigenous tribes. And some of those tribes do see it as an honor. Okay, I totally get that. That is the case. For instance, the University of Florida, the Florida State Seminoles have a really, really good relationship with the Seminole tribe in Florida. And
I'm sure that was post naming their fucking team.
Well, I'm sure a lot of money has exchanged hands. So, hey, if they're fine with it, I'm fine with it. But my thing is sometimes that shouldn't even be a thing. Like, that shouldn't even be a thing.
Well, because if you think about football teams, right, you're supposed to pick something that is kitschy and like easy to market. And you know, it's just you're talking
about
people.
Even something like the Cleveland Indians. I always thought that the Indians was worse than Redskins. And I'll tell you why. Y'all remember
Christopher Columbus?
Well, first of all, they were called the Indians, which we all know is it's not necessarily a derogatory term.
It's just wrong.
Fucking incorrect. It's just wrong.
This is not India.
And then their mascot was Chief Wahoo. Y'all remember the Indians?
Oh my God!
A smiling ass Indian chief with a little feather. I mean,
I can see his face.
It's like, it's basically what it was, the term minstrelsy. You know?
Like, yeah. It's like the indigenous people's minstrel show, like darky iconography for indigenous. It was terrible. It was just fucking terrible. And I'm so glad they are actually changing the name. The new name sucks, but hey, at least
I mean, it does suck. I don't even follow sports.
It sucks so bad I just kind of ignored it, but at least it's not the Indians.
Somebody was referring to the Redskins the other day, and they were like, the Washington football team.
That's actually the name.
Yeah.
That's the official name. Yeah. They couldn't think of a name, so
the Washington football team. Yeah. Are you fucking...
No way.
Go with the Cougars.
And they play shorts ball.
The Washington football team.
Hey, it's better than it was before.
Right. We'll take that.
Come on. All the marketing people that live in America.
But come up with something.
Small Red Ventures.
Just something.
Well,
right?
But the thing is, you know, they've been called that for so long. And there are even people today that just refuse to call them anything but their old name.
They're so lost. What a terrible place to be in.
Yeah, I know. And it's just kind of like... Yeah,
this is tradition.
It's kind of like,
what do we do?
Like I said, it's not like the Vikings, which the history of the Vikings, at least in the United States, is not one of oppression and genocide. If anything, they were coming over here fucking our people up.
I do want to dig into at some point there, and I want to say this was like around Louisiana and that general area. At one point in time, the French, the Native Americans, and the Vikings were all comrades in fighting the British colonial state, and I want to learn about that. I just haven't looked into it.
Why don't they call them like the Washington colonizers? That'd be great.
Did you guys? You guys don't follow sports, but Bomani Jones, one of my favorite sports faces out there, got a lot of flack. He works for ESPN, in which he had a shirt that it looked like the Cleveland Indians logo.
But it was a white guy?
Yeah.
And
it said Caucasian. And the S was a dollar sign. And boy, were people mad.
Oh, you find that offensive, do you?
Yeah, it's like, he wore it on air, too.
Good for him. Yes.
Yeah, people were very, very, very mad.
That's how you do it.
That is how you do it.
I love it.
So, also, speaking of dollar signs, we have to take a short break for a word from the only money that we get
From our Caucasian dollars. Yeah,
yeah. From our sponsor, who may not be our sponsor after this episode. Just kidding,
we love you.
Anchor.fm. And we're back. Disquietude. We are talking about Indigenous people's residential schools in both the Canada and both in Canada and the United States. These institutions ran for over 100 years, in which they forced Indigenous American children to assimilate into American Christian and Canadian Christian society.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. There was a lot of there is an article on Scientific America. Canada's residential schools were a horror. That ought to tell you everything you need to know about that. There are also over almost 7,000 testimonies that were gathered by a commission in Canada to investigate the schools after they shut down in 2007, in which the survivors told tales of abuse, sexual assault, and death. This has come back to light in recent news as more unmarked mass graves of Indigenous children were found in schools in Canada. Some Canadian people were shocked, and that surprised me, considering like either this is not common knowledge to Canadian people, but considering how big the program was,
yeah,
I'm kind of surprised it wasn't. But then again, the program was not exactly small here in the United States, and I really didn't know about it until I started researching. Not to this extent. So now the conversation is, well, how many more of these mass graves are there in Canada? As early in the episode, as we talked about, they tended to keep fairly extensive records on the children that came through and died. And during the commercial break, we were speculating that the United States either did not keep those same kind of records because they just didn't care, or they did and then subsequently destroyed those records and just kind of swept everything under the rug. I would find it hard to believe that kids weren't dying in the United States version of these schools, which they were kind of like the blueprint that Canada followed.
Yeah.
And if those things are going on in Canada, you damn sure that they were going on here in the United States. Now, there are apologists.
Are there?
There are always apologists. This is from the article on Scientific American. Apologists for the residential school system have argued in recent weeks that the children buried at these schools largely died of diseases like tuberculosis, and that the schools did the best they could to provide education and medical care to First Nations Inuit children during a time when their communities were being devastated by similar diseases.
Really? Huh. Is that why, like, you know, when COVID really started with the lockdown?
It wasn't COVID, it was a heart attack.
Well, yeah, like, they fucking just shipped them body bags instead of PPE. Is that the same level of attention these kids got? Like,
that's the same kind of rationale that people talk about when they talk about American slavery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people have even said, well, you know, slavery, you'd still be living in you'd still be living in huts or whatever. As it like people
who says that, you talking
to motherfuckers on the internet that know, because they on the internet they won't get shot.
Keyboard cowards.
Please come to the spot and tell that same story to me.
Yeah, right. I'll drop my fucking location, bitch.
Yeah, you come tell me and all my friends. You can tell. You know, I'll give you a lecture hall. Put a flyer up.
Yeah, let's debate. You and me, Ben Shapiro.
Oh boy, yeah. There can be no apologist for this. I'm sorry.
No, this is.
There cannot be.
I mean,
you have to say, you know what. We fucked up. We're sorry. And this is something that the United States, and I guess Canada, has the biggest problem doing. They can't,
the reconciliation portion.
They'll say shit
that's
like,
that's the least they could do.
Right.
The absolute least.
Yeah. They'll say shit like, well, you know, we don't want to erase our history.
Mm.
But
we also don't want to acknowledge it at the same time.
Which is funny because in other countries, like, Germany. We keep bringing up the Nazis. But I know they're low-hanging fruit. They're the whipping boys. But there's a reason why. In Germany, they have... what they don't do is they don't erase Nazism in that they want everyone to just forget about it. Mm-hmm. They acknowledge that, okay, that was really fucked up, guys. So we don't want that to ever come back. That's why... The laws, and there are so many anti-Nazi laws in Germany.
Yeah, you can't even.
Yeah,
yeah. If there's not even speak of it, or like
I was in Germany.
No
Nazi.
No.
A long, long time ago, 1999. No, and I went. I went to. I was at Ramstein Air Base, and I went to the bookstore there, and there was a book that had Hitler on the cover. It was called "To Kill a Devil." It was about the the September. The plot to kill Hitler.
Yeah.
That was failed. The assassination plot. Right. And Hitler was on the cover. And I was like, cool, how much for this book? And the book was like $500. I was like, really?
Holy shit.
And she said, because this is the only copy that exists in Germany.
Wow.
She was like, this book is illegal because Hitler
is on the cover.
And it had a swastika. Wow. Because we were on base.
You cannot
It was allowed to be there. But she was like, you would not find this book in a bookstore in Germany anyway.
Mm, wow.
So I was that was the first time that I was told that.
But freedom of speech.
Yeah. Oh my God. They tore down my Confederate statue. Shut up. So there can be, in my opinion, there can never be apologists for things like that. There's never, if I hear someone like trying to justify this in any means, I gotta assume that you're a raging racist.
Yeah.
I have to assume that. You know, they were providing healthcare where it was.
Oh my God. It was after, you know, the kids got the shit beaten out of them because they used the wrong name.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible. They're,
again, saving their souls. Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, doing these kids a favor.
Although Canada did keep records of deaths, there's still a lot of debate over how many children died in these schools. It is believed to be as high as 300,000
in
some accounts. I mean, the earlier this summer, they found, 250 at one of the schools? Yeah. 250 unmarked graves?
I'm honestly shocked that the amount of bodies that they're finding is so, little in comparison to... you know, what they've recorded in their record books as kids dying.
And the sad thing is that we may never know, who these children belong to.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you could DNA test it, but you would have to have an extensive network of DNA testing from currently living Indigenous peoples.
Yeah.
Which... if I'm an Indigenous person, I ain't giving nobody my DNA. Fuck that.
They'd have to trust you to stick some shit in their mouth.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. Like, absolutely not. Mm. So, you know, there could be. They'll never find out who the bodies of these children belong to.
And that's just in Canada. Right?
Yeah.
Just
that's not even here.
Right. Exactly.
That's the part that I'm like.
It was because of, so what's happening now in Canada is there's been like a call to action that was given to the Canadian government. And I think it's something like, it had something like 90 action items on it. And they've only worked, this is in 8 years, they've only worked through 10 of the action items, and this reconciliation with these schools is a part of that. And it was only upon them finding bodies that we even shifted focus to the American schools, like, hey, we know this happened here, we know you guys got some shit,
we're finding all these bodies in Canada, didn't you guys have these same schools?
Here's some blacked out documents.
Right, yeah.
You can read twos and it says about
there will be bodies found here.
Oh, for sure.
There will. Well,
I'm sure there have not been.
I mean,
there have been.
Yeah, but just not,
maybe not on that scale.
Exactly,
or
but that doesn't mean, you know, that there isn't. I just think the United States is very good at hiding stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I will say this: I think the Canadian government they're acknowledging that it happened, and they're not really trying to hide anything. Although this commission was a third-party commission, it was not funded by the government, but
they didn't try to suppress it.
Right, exactly. In the United States, they would have tried to suppress it.
Oh, yeah.
There would have been a lot of misinformation, a lot of social media bullshit about, you know, don't believe the fact checkers, and there would have just been a lot of stuff to try and sweep it under the rug. And as a result, I don't think we'll ever find out the truth about what happened at the schools here in the United States.
One of the biggest sticking points for a lot of these people, because they're not old, right? Like they're older now. A lot of these survivors from these schools, but they would tell people about their experiences and people did not believe them. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until they started finding these dead bodies where people had come for children who are now adults would come forward and say, yeah, they asked me to go help bury a fucking friend.
Right.
And people didn't believe them, and now they're finding the remains. And he's like, yeah, I fucking told you. Well, they had me. I told you it was
right here.
Bury my friend.
I think sometimes when it comes to atrocities, it's just so hard for people to believe when they're happening on that scale. You know, we've all heard the stories about how Jews that escaped concentration camps or has escaped the ghettos went and told other Jews that this is happening, and they didn't believe them. Like, there's no way they're burning us in ovens. Yeah. Slaves that had escaped and gone to the north were trying to tell.
It's too horrific people. To even like exactly. wrap our head around.
Exactly. They were like, there's no way that that's happening. This is the same thing, I think. Like, we're dying in these schools here of abuse and disease. And I think people were just like, no, that could be happening.
Yeah.
Something of that scale wouldn't be funded by the government. But you know what? Here's the thing. It actually was. It was underfunded, probably purposefully underfunded.
Yeah.
Just specifically to accelerate the rate of genocide.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was determined that these schools were given in Manitoba. These schools were given $180 per year. $180 per year per student. In 1938.
Per year.
Which was a lot of money.
Right.
Now you would think, okay, that was a lot of money in 1938.
Uh-huh.
But to put that into perspective, the Manitoba School for the Deaf and the Manitoba School for Boys received $642.
Per student.
Per student that same year.
Man.
In American boarding schools in 1938, they were funded at a per capita rate of $350 per student. So that's not a lot of money to take care of one student an entire year compared to $550 a month. It's clear that they didn't think that this was all that important, or either they said, you know what, if we give them too much money, they'll take too good care.
Oh, no. Right. Well, I'm sure they might not die of tuberculosis. Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure they weren't getting, like, best food and that was one of the best care with that.
The findings from the commission was, it was an opinion finding, but it was a finding nonetheless, that the schools being intentionally underfunded caused the high death rates, particularly with tuberculosis.
Yeah.
To me, they would have known that, right?
Yeah.
At that point in time, TB was fairly common. So, you know that there were these TB outbreaks going on in these schools.
And at this point in the 30s, TB was common, but I think we were getting medically to the point where it was treatable. Like, it wasn't the same disease that it was in, like, the 1890s. Mm-hmm. Where it was absolutely ravaging people. Like, I think that was, like, probably, I mean, and I could be wrong, but I'm just basing this off of, you know, historical context. I think that we were almost to the end of that at that point. Because, like, that was back when, like, you know, a few decades before, that was back when consumption would take, like, you know, a 14-year-old any fucking given time, you know. Fucking well, apparently they used to send 12-year-old girlfriend.
Apparently they used to send students that had tuberculosis to sanatoriums, which is a fancy schmancy name for a place where you send people with TB to die.
Yeah,
that's literally what it is, but I guess they would do it without letting the parents know. So you'd have a student get tuberculosis and then you're like, yeah, send him off to the sanatorium. And then the parents are like, what happened to my kid? I don't know.
Yeah.
He's probably dead of TB. Mm-hmm. And then these sanatoriums were funded at an even lower rate than the schools were.
Stop it.
They said at 50% of the cost, normally at 50% of the cost that the schools were. So imagine you're a student, you go to the school, you get $180 for the whole year to take care of you. You get TB, and then now it's only $90 to take care of you, bro.
What a savings.
Some of these children were as young as newborns.
Wow.
Can you imagine? You two, Jenny and Allie, both parents. Mm-hmm. Imagine someone takes your newborn baby and says that they got to go to the school. What the fuck are you going to teach a newborn in a school?
Right. That? But what are they doing with these newborns when they get them?
Killing them of tuberculosis, probably.
I mean, yeah. Like, they don't have the staff to fucking take care of a newborn baby around the clock. God. What the fuck?
That's what I remember.
It was a very effective way to commit genocide.
There you go. Yeah. You start at the roots.
Very effective. Yep.
Oh, my God.
And inexpensive.
Yep. Absolutely. They knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
They knew what they were doing. They couldn't use war or chemical warfare.
Like, we're trying to educate these kids.
Yeah, you gotta
think. This is a noble cause where... Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's how they framed it. Yes. In those fucking in those articles, they framed it as this, you know, like, noble path for these fucking children,
trying to integrate them into society.
Exactly. Right. Like, yeah. It was just everything in the article was just framed to be like, well, and then they're going to integrate into society and be white. Mm-hmm. And, like,
yeah.
And that was
nice, good white Christians.
Another thing that kids noted was, like, you know, the kids with lighter skin got treated better as a whole. Mm-hmm. Like,
oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. It was just, I mean.
But obviously they didn't care if they did die when they got there.
No, like, I mean, absolutely. It's just like, not.
Oh, well, like, you know, either they become good Christian, you know, members of society, or they die. And either way, it's fine.
Yeah, I don't think any of the people that were staffed there actually gave a shit.
No.
Either way. Like, I mean, it just the testimonials of just,
how could you? Like, how could you participate in that?
I know. Just direct cruelty. Constantly.
Yeah.
So, like, a lot of the schools that were off the reservation were far away from, purposefully, far away from...
Yeah.
Reservation. St. Eugene School near Cranbrook in British Columbia was 620 miles away from the nearest reservation.
Wow.
One of the survivors in 1956, Jack Kruger, he was sent to that school. A police officer and a priest arrived at his home and took him to the train station. The journey was more than 300 miles by train. He was then put on a cattle truck, stuffed like sardines with other children. What does that sound like to you?
Yeah.
There's another.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Very famous type of genocide that same thing.
Yeah.
Authorities show up at your home.
Yep.
And they put you in a cattle truck. He was at that school for 3 years. He says the abuse that he suffered and witnessed remains with him. He says, when you're a little boy, you couldn't do anything. You couldn't say anything. The priest has so much power. It's incredible. He said, I lost my language for 40 years because they told me it was the devil's tongue.
Ugh.
I was brainwashed.
Can you imagine how awful that would be as a child to just be ripped out of your safe environment?
Yeah, yeah.
Your culture and just
how traumatizing
that
in itself is. Even without the context of being removed from your culture, just a cop shows up one day and says, okay, you come with us and you never see your family again. That's nightmarish.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. There.
There were kids that were like saying that they felt like, you know, they didn't know. Most kids didn't know that it was like the law and their parents were going to go to jail. So some of them felt like they were like, what, my parents don't love me anymore. They fucking send me here. And then, like, you know, they were, you know, they didn't know until they were adults that when they would send letters back home, they would be censored. Or if they wrote letters talking about how sad they were, they would just go in the trash.
Right.
So, like, there were survivors that knew what these kids were going through, but they couldn't, you know, talk to the kids until they were returned, which in America, at least where it was like almost voluntary, again, they're, you know, 600, 700 miles away, and the kids would have to stay there because their family didn't have any way to go get them. Like, they had no way to pick up their kids monetarily. And so it was just like, well, shit. Like, what the fuck are we going to do?
Right.
Ugh.
Now, a lot of these schools in the United States are actually colleges now. University, Haskell Indian Industrial Training School is now Haskell Indian Nations University.
I feel like it has bad vibes. I would not want to go there.
You know, yeah, I mean... Now this is funny to me. Their name, they're the Fighting Indians.
Stop it.
But they
Come on,
but,
man.
But they what? Are Yeah, the
someone
they're in the, it is literally called Haskell Indian Nations University. It is operated by the United States Bureau of Indian Affairs.
We still haven't changed that name.
You know what? It's funny. It's funny you mentioned that because I was going to say something about that. It's almost like indigenous people, like, you are Indian. Like, that's been beaten in them for so long that they're just like, you know what? Fuck it. We're Indians.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the United States Bureau of Indian Affairs. You're not dealing with people from India, bro.
Yeah.
So... you have a federal agency that I
companies rebrand all the time. Like, they I can't know, just what like,
the fuck? Just change the fucking name.
How hard is it?
And by the way,
it's tradition.
That's fucking
okay. So at least them. At least there's an Indian dude who's ahead of that. He's his name is Brian.
Looks pretty white to me.
Yeah. If I saw a guy, I'm like, you a white dude. His name is Brian Newland. But hey, no, he's Indian. I'm not. I can't tell this guy.
Indian is he? Like, it just 1/16th says, well, Indian. Like,
who's the politician?
Can't
that,
even live on the reservation. Indian?
That she came out.
You talking about Elizabeth Warren?
Yeah. Yes.
He's Elizabeth Warren. Indian.
He related to her.
Yeah. Did you ever see that movie? That Spike Lee movie? I think it's Bamboozled, where they had the white guy whose name was 1/16th.
Yes. It says he was born and raised in the Bay Mills Indian community in Chippewa County, Michigan. So,
Indian. He has a
doctorate in Indian law. I guess Indian is like a acceptable thing.
That's what he's sounding like.
Wow. That's kind of.
I don't know.
Like we said before, the term Indian isn't as much derogatory as it just is wrong. It's just. Right. Incorrect. That's just what.
Maybe it's a reclamation thing.
It could be.
It's like we're so over it that now we're just gonna make it.
That's what I'm thinking. They're like, look, okay, that's all right. We're Indians.
Yeah. It's like, all right, whatever, man.
Because like I said, it's not derogatory. It's just wrong. It's just incorrect.
Yeah. Just land back, fuckers.
It's not. It's not like the N word. Could you imagine? Yeah.
No, that's all we care about.
Call me whatever the fuck fuckers. You want.
Yeah, the National Congress of niggas. That was the, you know what I'm saying? Our listeners are like, oh my god, Kaiser's a black guy. Kaiser
can say that. We have to remind the audience, right?
If you're new to listening, does have a pass, okay?
That would actually be funny to me because that'd just be like United States playing, you know what? It's not enough. Congress and niggas, that's what we're good with. Like, you know what? At least they're transparent about it. Okay. We got, this is such a serious, somber topic. We have to, this is how we release the
because it's sad. It's heavy.
Like, I'm researching this like, holy shit. Like, how do we not know about this? How do our kids not know about this?
Of course, intentional.
Yeah.
Oh, of course it is. Yeah, of course it is. They're going to teach you.
That's why they're fighting so hard against critical race theory.
I bet our youngest daughter is homeschooled, so I don't know if they're still teaching this. And she did go to public school her first 2 years, and I don't remember for Thanksgiving if they still taught the Indians and Pilgrims.
I don't know if they, I don't know, because I haven't actually talked to my kid about it.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I do know when I was a child, they made us fucking cut up t-shirts and dye them with tea, and like some kids would be, you know, the buckle-hatted pilgrims, and we had to like put on little plays and stuff. And even as a kid, my mom was like, hey honey, this is bullshit.
Well, okay, so it begs the question, like, at what level, like, how much should we teach our kids? Because I'm not gonna go pull Ella aside, I gotta blink out her name.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll pull her aside and be like, look, for over 100 years, they killed and abused and raped
Indian kids. Like, what the fuck? It depends on the age, though.
Well, like, yeah,
you don't want to get in that too early. Yeah, well, they need to know.
Okay, so
they can handle the shit.
My youngest daughter is sophisticated enough to where I think I could have that conversation. But that's just some heavy shit. I mean, that's some heavy shit to lay on me. And I'm 42.
Yes, oh, you don't want to drop it on a fucking 5-year-old, but at the same time,
they're being taught, like.
But then they're like, here's the three names of the pilgrim ship.
Right, yeah.
Why do I still know the Santa Maria? Exactly.
Right, yeah. The Nina, the Pinta, the Santa Maria. We all know that.
All of us know that shit.
Why do I?
Columbus came over.
Does that matter?
I fucking care.
Columbus came over. He partied with the Indians.
1492.
They called corn maize. They told us a bunch of bullshit. So it's like, how do you deprogram your kids? Because you don't want to be like, watch this documentary on Indian genocide. You know.
Like, so
they welcomed them here and they all sat down at Thanksgiving and had dinner together. And it was really beautiful.
A giant table. Yeah. You know where the fuck they got that from.
My oldest nephew, I think, he was 5 when my sister learned that lesson. He started crying when she was trying to tell him about it. And she's like, okay, so this is not what I'm going to do with my next kid. But then, like, you know, with my son, I recently, in the past 2 years, have had to have, like, conversations with him, especially with, you know, the protests going on and having to go to those and having to explain, well, like, this is where I'm going. Well, why are you going? And it's like, well, you know how you have some friends that have melanin, and I have to explain, like, some people don't fucking like melanin. I don't know what to tell you. And so, like, it's just having to, like, break down. And then he'll be like, well, why? And then I'll be like, well, because some people that don't have a lot of melanin just wanted them to be their workers for free, and they suck. Mm-hmm. And so you're just, like, having to water this down for a kid that can't process.
I don't even think slavery was taught to us in schools. Probably taught us about middle school. I think that's when, like, 6th, 7th grade is when they... Now, at that point, of course, I knew about slavery. I think every black kid in America knows about... I mean, I remember our parents made us watch Roots.
Mm.
Oh, God.
Tiff was a little younger than me, so they were like, y'all gonna watch this shit.
They were like, hey.
Like, by the way, Roots, you should make your kids watch.
And you're like,
watch
Reading
Roots.
Rainbow Guy?
Yes! Yes, because that's how I knew him.
Oh, shit!
Yes, I was like, holy shit.
Yeah. What are you doing to LeVar Burton?
Yeah. Please. Put on your Star Trek glasses.
I know. LeVarge. Jordy LaForge, why?
No, LaForge. No, please.
But you know, and I remember as when I was about his age when they first, like, my first social studies lesson was in that. And it was like, I remember looking at the graph of how they had people chained up, and it was like, do you know the old shitty drawn graph that's just, it has like the little rows of bodies, right? And I was at 8 years old, my mind could not wrap around what the fuck I was looking at, and I was like, how do you put people that way? Like, I just couldn't wrap my head around the
just
cruelty.
Just like an effective genocide starts with the youth, that is how you keep your government from being overthrown. If you teach, kids at a young age the atrocities of the very people who we elected to lead this country, they will garner a distrust as they get older. By the time they're legal adults, you have less people in your military, you have less politicians, which I think is a good thing. Even though I was in the military, but what I'm saying is that I think it's good if people aren't you know, blindly trusting of the government. There are times where, like, you know, we live in a time where being vaccinated is a hot topic, hot button issue. And a lot of people are saying, well, hey, you can't just trust the government blindly. And I completely 100% agree with that. But there's something called nuance in being objective. You just can't take everything at face value either way.
Yeah.
So I think it's good to, at an early age, let your kids know, hey, look, there wasn't a big Charlie Brown table with the Indians and the Pilgrims. Where the fuck did that name come from?
Better than colonizers.
I guess,
Well, where did the name Pilgrims come from? Because they were just the Puritans.
That's a good question.
Who named them that?
Pilgrims.
Yeah.
Pilgrims.
Well, thanks. Thankfully, we have these little devices.
Shut up.
That have all of the knowledge of the world.
Listen here, sir.
The Pilgrims were English settlers who came to America specifically on the Mayflower. And they,
yes, we all know.
the sentiment in the Pinta.
Let me see if I can find the etymology.
Let's here talk about their stupid shoes. Their impractical, dumb shoes and their dumb hats.
So William Bradford wrote a book called Of Plymouth Plantation. He comes from the Bible. Old Testament.
Of course.
Strangers
and everything.
And pilgrims, you know, those that would complete a pilgrimage.
Do you know how many times I used the word Philistine before I realized it was a Bible reference? Are you fucking Philistine? And someone's like, hey, read this. I'm like, oh, never mind.
But it actually wasn't used in normal use until the almost 1800.
Because they were on a pilgrimage to a new land.
That's right. Yeah. How dumb. Oh, boy. There's a debate going on in this country about reparations, particularly for slavery. And I think the United States, they have to do something about that.
Oh, dude.
But it's beyond time. You know why they are hesitant?
Because they'd have
because of this.
Land back.
They got it. Then they got
land back fuckers.
Yep,
treaties, bitch.
They're thinking, man, if we do reparations for all the black people in this country, then we gotta give the Native Americans theirs
whole can
as
of worms
well.
They don't want
to exactly. I think they don't want to do that, but they need to. They have to. This was essentially. Well, it's almost like,
well, because all the wealth that like white people have was built on that shit.
Yes, yeah.
Was like,
and once chattel slavery ended, you know, they needed a new they're like, you know what, let's go for the indigenous Americans.
Oh, they weren't done.
They have land that we want. They have resources that we want. So that's just, man, this is just so sad. I know this is a serious topic and we're kind of, you know, we're not making jokes about this, but
taking some little journeys.
Yeah, it's just because, like I said,
it sucks, right? And one of the reasons why I really wanted to talk about it was because of, you know, this month and this holiday. And also I wanted to talk about how we still haven't closed the fucking camps. Those were supposed to be fucking closed. They've rebranded. They've called it a different name, but they are still separating, you know, Latin American children from their families. And they are fucking adopting them out. Betsy DeVos is one of these fucking funders for these little Christian, like, mafiosos who are taking these children, again, stripping of their culture and their name and adopting them out to white families mm-hmm. in this new spin on these fucking schools. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just so fucking gross that nobody fucking talks about it because we want to talk about fucking whatever the fuck QAnon is doing this week, mm-hmm. Whatever fucking tirade of imagination they're on fucking D&D quest. Like, mm-hmm. it's just like, yeah, it's funny and it's a good, you know, lighthearted romp, but this is shit that's still going on and it's fucked up and it shouldn't be happening anymore. Like, I don't mm-hmm. understand.
Yeah.
I don't. I mean, I do understand,
but there's money to be made. I mean, yeah, that's
yeah. There's it, just like with this, you know, they were these programs existed so that they could siphon resources from the indigenous people's communities.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, they said, okay, we'll give you back a little bit of this land, and in return, you give us this, you give us your children, and then they knew that they could slowly siphon the life and the energy out of those communities. And then back them up against the wall. And then, and then at some point, those people would be forced to start selling land back to the government, selling mm-hmm. resources back to the government. It's all part
just
of the
like
plan.
Just like the fucking, what is it, Dakota Access Pipeline or whatever?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They didn't have the force to keep those people right. from, you know, seizing the fucking
land. I'm glad
land.
You brought that up, because that's just, that whole thing just went to show how the government is still treating indigenous peoples with,
oh, yeah.
I mean, there's just...
It's the middle finger every fucking time.
Yeah.
They found new artful ways to go about it.
They wouldn't put that shit through Ballantyne.
Fuck no. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Fuck no, they wouldn't.
Yeah, Ballantyne is a community here in Charlotte that is very affluent.
Affluent.
But yeah, they wouldn't... Like, for instance, when I lived in Las Vegas, there was a big debate. I don't know if you guys ever heard of Yucca Mountain. And I'm off topic here a little bit, but Yucca Mountain is a mountain in Nevada which they store nuclear waste from nuclear power plants or nuclear research facilities. But the nuclear waste has to be stored under the ground. Really, that's the only one of the few safe places you can store it. You can store it in water. That's actually very safe to store. You can store it above ground, but then you kind of run out of room. So Yucca Mountain is where they store a lot of that. The problem is that Yucca Mountain is out in the middle of the desert, and typically nuclear research facilities are actually in fairly close to populated areas. So how do you get that material from a nuclear facility to Yucca Mountain? You put it on a train. Well, train tracks go through cities and towns.
Oh boy.
So you know where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
So there was a big thing. Okay. Henderson, Nevada was one of the places the train tracks were going out. If you've ever been to Las Vegas, outside of Las Vegas, Henderson, Nevada, Henderson is essentially like their Ballantyne. Okay. Mm-hmm. And boy, did those people fight. Those people said, you are not going to put.
This is an outrage.
You are not going to put nuclear material.
I'm calling my lawyer.
And you know what? They did not. They said, okay, we'll find another way to get it to Yucca Mountain. Everyone had a great day. So I said that to say they put a pipeline through indigenous people's land. And people are like, no, we're not going to do this. And then they said, well, you know what? We're going to send the federales down there to take care of you guys. The game is rigged.
Yeah, come on out and protest. We'll hit you with a bunch of like water cannons.
The game is rigged.
Mm-hmm.
So... Boy, okay, so, man, this is, yeah.
Again, happy Thanksgiving, guys.
I hope that our listeners actually have a great, great holiday, because I'll probably edit this tonight, and then so you're going to wake up tomorrow morning, ready
to go. You can avoid your family with us.
Yeah. You're ready to watch some foosball and eat some turkey and listen to the most depressing episode of The Quietude this year. I hope that for all you guys. And trust, we're going to get some comments about this one. Boy, we're going to get some comments.
But
about
that's
this one.
Listen, I people can come at me all they fucking want and call me as woke as they fucking want. But honestly, like, we are presenting cold hard facts here, people. This is fucking history.
Yeah, we've been doing this 2 years. Trust me, we're used to we're used to the comments. Mm. Yeah. So, I just don't. We're not going to sugarcoat this. Because we didn't do it when we did Unit 731 with the Japanese.
Yeah, no.
We don't do that. So we just simply present to you, here's what happened. And if you don't think that this is fucked up, then that's some shit you got to work out. That's some issue
you
got to
deal with. Take that. Instead of posting the comment, just have the argument with yourself in the mirror.
In the mirror,
because
yeah.
You need to figure out why we're disagreeing. And I'm not going to tell you why we're disagreeing.
Internalize it. Debate yourself. Yeah. Don't debate me. I'm not going to debate you. I've already said, or you start a podcast and you debate. Start your own podcast about why you think Indian schools were just...
Or if you want to debate me, Ben Shapiro style, we will live stream it. And you'll just watch me make fart noises at you the entire time you're speaking, okay? Just get ready for that because I am internally sometimes a 5-year-old, okay?
All right.
Land back, fuckers.
Yeah. So I encourage all of our listeners to go do a little bit of research on this, actually. You're going to be, I think, surprised at what you find. You're going to find a lot of stuff on this. And let us know what you think. If you find anything that we didn't find or something that you think would be of particular interest. I'm going to keep an eye on this because they are still looking for these grave sites.
Oh, I think it's going to get worse.
Yeah, I think it's going to get worse. Yeah.
Start digging, you're going to find some bodies.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think they're going to go to some of these colleges and be like, hey, what's in that field back there? And no one likes poltergeist.
Oh my God. Speaking of,
that's just as much as I love that movie, and I think that is one of the greatest horror movies ever made. The whole Indian burial ground thing just kind of doesn't it feel kind of icky?
Yeah, I did,
especially considering the context of what we know now.
Mm. I wonder if they edited that out because now I have to think back.
In the new Poltergeist, I believe they changed that,
but no, I
think the remake
in the old one, I can't remember now. I just made my kid watch it and he hated me for it. And I thought it was a very soft entry to horror. So that was a bad call on my part. I even told him to shield his eyes when that guy rips his own face off.
Cover
your eyes. Don't watch this. I can't remember if they did say that anymore. I do know that the bodies that pop out of the ground just look like white dudes in suits. So there's that. But I can't remember if, because you know, Spielberg will go back and edit his shit.
Yeah.
Right.
Like with E.T., he like edited out the guns and stuff like that. So I wonder if they changed it.
Okay. All right. So. There actually is no Indian burial ground in Poltergeist. There never was. This might be some Mandela effect shit, which maybe we need to do an episode on that. Yes, it is not an Indian burial ground. It's only mentioned in the movie as a cemetery.
A cemetery.
But not an ancient tribal
burial ground. That's the white dudes.
I actually paid attention to something for 2 hours. Amazing. Good for me.
Maybe we should do an episode on, maybe we'll save that for next Thanksgiving, the Indian burial ground trope. There's a whole very good article on it right now about the trope and how it's in everything. Pet Cemetery, one of the
one.
So that's very interesting, but there is not one in Poltergeist. So all right, so I take that back. So maybe there won't be.
You keep Mr. Incredible's name out your mouth, okay?
All right,
Craig T. Nelson did nothing wrong.
By the way, the skeletons used in that movie were real.
They were real dead people.
Actual skeletons.
What? So when that girl's in the water in the pool and they're like she's drinking corpse water.
Ew, gross.
Yeah, fucking gross.
Ew.
There's a fun horror movie fact for the day.
You would never get away with that.
They didn't. I don't think they told her until later.
No.
They told her later.
I was so mad.
What? I think I read it in one of those articles that was like things that directors got away with that they didn't like tell the actors about, like like in Alien where, you know,
right.
John Hurt's chest bursts open or whatever, the screams were real, like, and then that they mentioned that those they weren't props, they were actual corpses.
In Friday the 13th 4, when Jason jumps through the window to attack a young Tommy Jarvis played by Corey Feldman, he was not told that was going to happen. He had to stand by the window and a fucking 6'3 guy in a hockey mask. So if you watch the movie, his reaction
is real.
Is real. And he talked about on the documentary about how he hated the director after that.
Actually think that's kind of funny.
Yeah,
that's me.
Would shit my pants.
Oh, no, I would definitely be pissing myself in the moment. Yeah, but at the moment,
I'm sure he was really
But afterwards, I'd be like, that was funny.
Good. You're the horror movie. What do you expect in a horror movie?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know you're
and he acts to be in that movie. He acts his agent to be in that movie. So. All right. That's how we're going to end it. We gotta end it and talk about something different because this is heavy, heavy shit. So, like I said, everyone just go read about it. And maybe it will put some perspective on your Thanksgiving. Particularly those of you in the United States. I know that we have a lot of listeners that are not in the United States that are probably like, damn, they are fucked up over there. Yes, we are. So we will be back.
In so many ways.
We will be back next week. We're actually going to try and get our schedule fixed so that the new episode releases on a Friday because it was just too hard to stick to Wednesdays for the recording on a Monday. So we're going to try that for you guys. Next week, we are going to talk about, oh no, we agreed not to tell you guys what we're going to talk about because I don't want you heathens researching it before we put it in your brains. So yeah, so I'm not going to tell you what we're doing next week, but I think that you'll like it. So I hope that you guys have a great holiday, whether you celebrate Thanksgiving or not. If you have the day off, just take time, spend some time with your family. Yeah. If you have the day off and you go somewhere where there are people working in retail,
be fucking nice.
Be nice.
You should do that anyway.
Yeah.
You should do that anyway. But be especially nice. You go to the grocery store on Thanksgiving and they don't have your goddamn cranberry sauce in a can, which is the only cranberry sauce that's acceptable.
Excuse me. I make my own cranberry sauce.
You're off the show. You're off the show.
Let's not invalidate each other's sauces.
All I'm saying, if they don't have it, be nice. Be nice. Be nice to everyone. We love you guys, and hopefully you'll hear our lovely voices again next week.
Bye.
Bye.